T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Welcome back, everybody. Sports Talk Saturday. This is WGR Sports Radio 550. Louis DiBiase here in for Nate Geary. This is hour two. We are going till 2 o'clock on 550 AM on the radio.com app. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to talk Bills, anything football today. We're going all NFL, all football talk on Sports Talk Saturday. And you can also hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what you think of the show at WGR 550 at DiBiase LOE. It's Bills Seahawks tomorrow at 1 o'clock. We'll have coverage right here on WGR starting at 7 o'clock bright and early. I'll be on Breakfast with the Bills fantasy style. It's a big opportunity for the Bills to get to 7-2, to continue to keep a stranglehold on this AFC East division, to fight for maybe a top two seed in the AFC, and I think most importantly prove that they are a legitimate contender, not only just for the playoffs, but potentially for a Super Bowl, going up against a team in Seattle that I think is a tier one team in football right now. And Russell Wilson, if not, he probably should be the favorite to win MVP, but if not, he is certainly in the top three candidates to win Most Valuable Player in 2020. To help me preview Bills Seahawks, I'm bringing in now the beat reporter for Seahawks Maven on Sports Illustrated. He's also the host of Locked On Seahawks. It's Corbin Smith. Corbin, what's up, brother? Good to talk to you again. First time here on the airwaves in Buffalo, but I always love talking ball with you, and let's get into a good matchup here.
Yeah, I'm really excited for this game. Two really good football teams that I believe neither one of them has gotten close to reaching their potential. That's the really fun thing about this matchup.
Yeah, absolutely, Corbin. I think that's a perfect way to put it, and that's kind of what I was talking about in the first hour is we kind of have a certain floor here in Buffalo now of winning. They've made the playoffs two of the last 3 years, or a certain floor with Sean McDermott as head coach, but we're kind of feeling like there's more meat on the bone here. We want to see them win in a certain way now, and we want to see them do more, especially on offense with the weapons they have, and we want to see Josh Allen take that Russell Wilson-like step. And it seems like, look, talking about Russell Wilson, what an incredible season he's having. And the Seattle team, while I agree with you, I still think they have a lot farther to go here, reaching their ceiling. Corbin, at the same time, I think they're a tier one team in the NFL. I think they're maybe the best team in the NFC. Is this the best Seahawks team you've seen since those two Super Bowl runs in 2013 and 2014? Like, how good is this football team?
I don't know that I'd go that far just yet because, I mean, those 2013 and 2014 teams were so special, and the 2015 and 2016 teams were good.
Yeah.
They just did, for whatever reason, there were just some things that didn't fall their way. They had some injuries, but I think this team has the upside to be as good as those two teams. The talent is on defense. They have not been able to have continuity in their secondary. They have had one game this year so far with Quentin Dunbar, Shaquille Griffin, Jamal Adams, and Quandre Diggs in the lineup together. One game. And they had not played together as a unit going into this season. You had two new guys in that secondary. And so I think that has really impacted things. And everybody was complaining about them not re-signing Jadeveon Clowney. But look at what Clowney's doing in Tennessee right now. And a lot of the big-name pass rushers that were signed in free agency haven't done anything either. So I don't know that John Schneider really made mistakes there with how he handled that pass rush. They are now hoping Carlos Dunlap coming in from Cincinnati is going to be the difference maker they absolutely need rushing off the edge. And if he's able to do that and that secondary can finally get some games under their belts playing together, they're still not going to have Shaquille Griffin this weekend. But if they can get all four of those players back in the secondary and get a few games in their belts. I think this defense can get a lot better really fast, and if that happens, look out.
We're talking with Corbin Smith, Seahawks maven on Sports Illustrated, host of the Locked On Seahawks podcast right here on Sports Talk Saturday on WGR Sports Radio 550. Corbin, let's stick on the defense too first before we get into Russell Wilson and the offense. As you said, this is a Seahawks defense that is struggling, that has talent, but is struggling, and I think it's a good opportunity for the Bills offense to get back on track and kind of be the team we saw the first 4 weeks of the season in September. You mentioned Carlos Dunlap already as a pass rusher on the defensive line they just traded for from the Cincinnati Bengals. Before that, like, I know they're struggling, but who were they getting production from up front? I mean, this is a team that used to have a lot of household names. I mean, from, you know, in the 2010s, this was one of the best defenses I've ever seen. The Legion of Boom, Bobby Wagner, Cliff Averill, Michael Bennett. I mean, who should the Bills expect to have to keep an eye on tomorrow for this unit?
Well, as far as rushing the passer, the team lead is still two sacks, and Jamal Adams is tied for it. He hasn't played the last four games. So
wow.
That's all you need to know about pass rushing issues that they've had. That being said, there have been some signs that this group is making progress, particularly L.J. Collier, their first-round pick from 2019, I believe now has 11 pressures on the season, and he has been able to do a really nice job against the run as well. He has held on to that starting strong side defensive end position, and he's played better, I think, than his stats indicate. Benson Maioa is not going to play this weekend. He's the other guy on their team that's got two sacks, but again, they're going to be replacing him in the lineup anyway. Carlos Dunlap is going to be the new starter at the Leo defensive end position. Jaron Reed and Puna Ford have been really stout against the run in the middle. The pass rushing numbers haven't necessarily been there. So I think if you just look up and down the line, they've been able to get some quarterback hits. The pressure rate has been better than last year, but as far as getting sacks, they actually are on pace for less this year than they had last year, and they only had 28 last season. So Carlos Dunlap, They are absolutely hoping he can be the savior for that group.
Let me ask you real quick. I'm kind of a nerd here for late-round draft prospects, and not just late-round, but just any for the NFL draft in general. And the Seahawks drafted two guys I really liked as defensive ends, and Darrell Taylor out of Tennessee and Alton Robinson out of Syracuse. Just an update. I mean, most people probably don't care that much. Probably not household names, but what's going on with Robinson and Taylor?
Well, Darrell Taylor hasn't even practiced for the Seahawks yet, so I can't tell you what kind of player that they are going to have.
Yeah.
He is still on the non-football injury list. I mean, he's a player, you look at his college film, I'm very intrigued by.
Same.
But we have not had a chance to see him yet. I don't know if he's going to be back in the next couple of weeks. Every time we get an update from Pete Carroll, it seems like, well, he's getting close, and we have not gotten there yet. But Alton Robinson made his first NFL start last weekend. Maioa was out against the 49ers, and Robinson had a sack. He only had three tackles, but they held the 49ers to 48 rushing yards in the first half. And a big reason why they were not able to get to the edge, which I think is interesting because that's something the Bills like to do with their run game.
For sure.
The 49ers were not able to do that last weekend. Alton Robinson was a big reason why, setting the edge. He was really impressive, and so they might not have got a chance to see Taylor yet, but I think Alton Robinson already is a fifth-round pick, is looking like he's going to be a pretty nice selection for them. They're starting to get some impact from a number of rookies on this team.
All right, let's go to the offensive side now, Corbin. I mean, obviously, led by Russell Wilson, I think the MVP favorite in 2020. Just how much better has Russell Wilson been this year compared to previous years? I mean, we've always known he's been a top-tier quarterback, top five in the league, but it just feels like he's on another level this year. Is it because the offense and the coaching staff is finally just unleashing him, or has he taken another step this year?
I think it's a combination of both, and I'm going to give a ton of credit to Brian Schottenheimer, the offensive coordinator, who, by the way, I believe should be on the short list for any team that has an NFL head coach opening.
Sure.
If you would have told me that 3 years ago, I criticized the Seahawks for the hire, because when he looked back at what Schottenheimer had done in New York and when he was with the Rams,
right, yeah,
you just had to wonder. But then you go back and you look and you're like, you know what, he helped Mark Sanchez lead two Jets teams to the AFC Championship game. The Rams, Sam Bradford was on IR almost the entire time he was there. He was trying to win games with Sean Hill. But this guy is a really good coach, and players love him, and I think he has been instrumental. You look back at what he did with Drew Brees early in Drew Brees' career, he has done the same thing with Russell Wilson. He has refined his technique and his throwing mechanics, and that has happened through this three-year process. And now you are seeing a near complete product now with the weapons he's got on the outside and the fact that now Schottenheimer, they were starting to lean this way last year. I told people all offseason, I don't know if they're going to be a super aggressive passing offense, but I think they are going to let him cook a little bit more. Mm-hmm. They've exceeded my expectations, and Brian Schottenheimer has shown no signs of going away from that. They are going to throw a lot on early downs. They're going to put the ball in their best player's hand, and why wouldn't you when you've got DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett on the outside?
Right, and that's the thing. It wasn't always that way in Seattle, and so I kind of beat to death on the air all the time here talking about when I'm talking about quarterbacks, somebody you can win with, but also somebody you can win because of. And we're kind of hoping to see from Josh Allen here in Buffalo what you've seen from Russell Wilson in the post Legion of Boom era, if you will, where we're kind of hoping to see Josh Allen beating contenders, and you're doing it on his shoulders. You know, you're winning in a certain way, right? You're not just winning always because of your defense, and not just because of the defense. Josh Allen, very similar to Russell Wilson early on in his career, he is pulling out games in the fourth quarter. He's one of the best fourth quarter quarterbacks from a statistical standpoint over the last couple years.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the pitch, hit, and run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
But Corbin, just like Seattle, you just never know when eventually you don't have that same core, like a Legion of Boom, and you need your quarterback to carry. And so I'm kind of envious, like I'm kind of jealous seeing Russell Wilson do that. I'm hoping to see that from Josh Allen, because again, in the NFL, the only really consistent thing that you have year after year normally is the franchise quarterback that you hopefully find.
Yeah, that's been the interesting thing. I don't know if you remember this, but before the 2018 season, after 2017, Seattle was 9-7. They missed the playoffs. They released Richard Sherman. Cam Chancellor had to retire because of a neck injury. Cliff Avril had to retire. They got rid of a number of players. They let Jimmy Graham go. I mean, a bunch of moves. There were outlets picking them to win 4 games with Russell Wilson at quarterback. That was never going to happen. But I was pessimistic about their chances of making the playoffs initially, but you could just see some of the moves they made. And the fact that Russell Wilson was lifting this football team, and not every team has a quarterback that can elevate a roster like that, but Russell Wilson is one of those guys that can. And then they were able to get a gold mine at pick 64 in DK Metcalf. I mean, him and Tyler Lockett right now, they are having the greatest season by a pair of receivers in NFL history, and it's not even close. Mm-hmm. They are the first tandem in 7 games, Louis, that have produced 550 or more receiving yards and 7 receiving touchdowns in 7 games.
Unreal.
That has never happened before. They are both on pace for over 1,300 receiving yards and 16 receiving touchdowns, which those numbers combined, only 10 players in NFL history have ever done that. Randy Moss did it 3 times, which just shows you how much of a freak Randy Moss is.
Right,
but
yeah.
My point is, it's only happened with 2 players in the league in a season. One time, there's only been 2 players that have done it. 2011, you have 2 teammates right now on pace to do it, and we're near the halfway point. It's just simply been astounding.
It's an insane stat, and they are the best duo in football right now by far from a wide receiver standpoint. And they're just the perfect, Corbin, they're the perfect combo for Russell Wilson style. Am I right? I mean, these are just 2 guys down the field that, I mean, when you have vertical threats like that and just explosive players, not just down the field but run after the catch, when you have those players on both sides of the football, what that does for an offense, especially when you have to worry about not only those guys taking the top off, but then a quarterback that's one of the best mobile quarterbacks ever, one of the best deep balls I've ever seen. I mean, that's just, and it's an unstoppable trio, it feels like.
Yeah, and you got David Moore into that core as well.
David Moore is
on pace for over 500 yards. He's been fantastic, an 80% catch rate. I think what really is setting Metcalf and Lockett apart, you know, if you're just a casual fan and you're watching, you don't notice these little intricacies with their games. But yeah, they're both vertical threats, but they really complement each other. I mean, you've got this towering receiver in DK Metcalf mm-hmm. that he looks like he was engineered in a lab.
He does.
And if you're a corner, I don't know what you're supposed to do, because there's not a corner in the league that physically, I mean, Patrick Peterson's the only guy I've seen that has been able to somewhat neutralize him. And really, I don't think I don't think he really neutralized Metcalf as much as I think that when you look at what Tyler Lockett was doing, Russell Wilson's just like, well, I'm going to keep throwing to him. There's a reason he had 200 yards in that game. He was getting open every play. And these two guys, I think what really sets them apart is they are selfless. DK Metcalf is not going to complain if he gets two catches for 23 yards and Tyler Lockett goes off, or vice versa. These two guys love playing together, and their styles contrast each other. And so it's just been incredibly fun to watch. And you add David Moore in there, and I still think Greg Olsen at some point is going to have a breakout game. It has not happened yet.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe with the struggles the Bills have had defending tight ends, maybe this is the week that happens.
Yeah, Tremaine Edmonds really struggling at the linebacker position this year. Matt Milano dealing with injuries all year. So that's something to keep an eye on. Corbin Smith of Seahawks Maven on Sports Illustrated and Locked On Seahawks joining me on Sports Talk Saturday. Corbin, let's just keep talking DK Metcalf real quick. I mean, video game-like numbers, 36 catches, 680 yards this year, 7 touchdowns. He's averaging 18.9 yards per reception. And this guy went behind J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Andy Isabella, N'Keal Harry. How in the world did the NFL let Seattle steal this kid at the end of the second round when it wasn't even, throughout the draft process, I remember people saying that he was the top receiver, and then it just felt like suddenly within a two-week span, he just plummeted down boards. I don't know if it was just the inner circle of, GMs knowing each other and front office members, and they all thought the same way, groupthink, or what it was, if it was the three-cone drill. But how Metcalf fell that far in favor of other receiver prospects is just, it's crazy. I mean, we knew this was the kind of talent he was during the process, and he still fell.
I think there were some things, there were some red flags there that teams
yeah,
were
sure.
looking at that made some sense. But at the same time, all along, I looked at him as a late first-round pick because mm-hmm. I did have some reservations about his route running at the time, and I had reservations about the neck injury that he had had. But there
That's
was
fair.
No
yeah.
denying the blue-chip talent that you were looking at. And the more that I got to know about him, talking to some people that worked with him at Ole Miss, you started to realize this guy is a special kid,
mm-hmm.
and he has incredible work ethic. There are so many guys that enter this league that have it really unique physical traits, but they don't have that will to get better, to be the best, and DK Metcalf has that. And Pete Carroll, just once he had a couple practices with this kid, you just know he had to be chomping on his gum like, oh, yeah, I got my kind of player here, uber competitive, extremely hard worker, never satisfied, and that's why he has made this tremendous leap in year two. You couple that with the physical gifts that you rarely see from a receiver at his size. It's astounding because he's only 22 years old. I think that's the thing that people are forgetting.
It's
here.
Terrifying.
He's still a puppy. Yeah. This guy, as he continues to get better running routes and stuff, he's going to be a receiver that's in the unguardable territory.
Corbin, I think there's a lesson that the NFL can learn about Seattle and Buffalo and just – not going against the grain, but I don't think there's a prototypical style of player anymore in the NFL. I think anything can work, and I think, I don't know if it's GMs or what it is, but I think people get caught up too much in a certain set style of player and what teams are looking for, and if DK Metcalf doesn't fit that mold, or Russell Wilson because he's too small, or Josh Allen because he didn't have the college production, those guys plummet down the board, and I think that's, I don't know, I think there's a lesson here to be said about the Seahawks and the Bills' open-mindedness compared to some other teams where they just wouldn't even have that kind of player on their board. And I think Seattle and Buffalo kind of represent two teams that are willing to take chances on that kind of talent, that kind of upside. I'm an upside guy big time, and you're seeing it pay off for both sides. I mean, Allen hasn't hit that Russell Wilson-like ceiling yet by any means, but I think it's paying off that they went with Allen over the prototypical choice and a Josh Rosen.
Oh, God.
Right?
I go back to that draft, and Allen, I will admit, I was it was a mixed bag for me. I didn't
That's
know
fair.
If I would have taken him number 8 overall, but Josh Rosen was not a first-round pick on my board. I did not like what I saw in his film at UCLA, and some of the really ugly things that I saw showed up immediately when the Arizona Cardinals played him as a rookie, and he was in a tough situation. So I do feel bad for him from that perspective. You don't see first-round picks go through what he's done now being a practice squad player in his third season in the league. It's an incredible plummet for being a first-round pick, but Allen had all of those physical tools if you could just get him in the right system. And I think that the Bills landed the right offensive coordinator to be able to bring all the best attributes out of Allen. And you've seen the completion percentage go up. So, again, a lot of it's the environment that you're getting these players into. And it's interesting we're saying this because you and I both know Buffalo for a long time was not the team where guys were going and finding success because of culture and stuff like that. That has changed under their new head coach and
certainly
the
has.
Regime that they've got there. And that's why you're now consistently winning. It's not a coincidence.
No, it's not at all, for sure, Corbin. Corbin Smith of Seahawks Maven on Sports Illustrated and the host of Locked On Seahawks joining me. Corbin, last thing for you before I let you go here on your Saturday. Any key injuries that Bills fans should take notice of for Seattle tomorrow? Any key players the Seahawks might not have in the lineup on either side of the football?
It's pretty definitive this week. Last week went into the game with several game-time decisions, but Chris Carson is not going to be playing for the Seahawks, neither is Carlos Hyde. So they're going to be without their top two running backs. They did sign Alex Collins to their
return
squad. I would not be surprised if he's elevated for this game to go with rookie DJ Dallas, who I expect would get the start on Sunday. So they're shorthanded in the backfield. They're going to be without Mike Iupati on the offensive line. Jordan Simmons has been fantastic replacing him, though, so I don't think that's a huge loss necessarily. And then on defense, no Shaquille Griffin, no Ugo Amadi, so they're going to have Trey Flowers in the starting lineup again in place of Griffin. And DJ Reed, who they just had make his debut against the 49ers last week, he'll be playing in the slot. Maioa's out. Carlos Dunlap, though, is going to be the starter most likely at the Leo position making his debut. So some key guys out. I think they feel like they're in better shape, especially because Jamal Adams is going to be back this week.
Corbin Smith joining me, the beat reporter at Seahawks Maven on Sports Illustrated, the host of Locked On Seahawks. Always great talking to you, man. Follow him on Twitter, at Corbin Smith NFL. Corbin, we'll do it again soon. It's going to be a fun game tomorrow, and enjoy it.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
Corbin Smith joining me on the Sports Talk Saturday right here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Louis DiBiase here in for Nate Geary until 2 o'clock. 803-0550 is the phone call phone number to call in. And on Twitter, you can hit us up at WGR550 at DiBiase LOE.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.